Well, are you ready? You ready for Christmas? I hope you are. I'm excited to share with you today something rather simplistic and awesome at the same time. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today just so grateful. I think the whole world loves Christmas time, wants to be hopeful, but mostly is just trying to escape reality. God, we come today because we have a gift that changes reality, and we have hope and joy. I pray that that would just permeate this place, God, and that you would move in our midst. And all God's people said, amen. How many of you are fans of the movie A Christmas Story? Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun. If you're not, you need to watch that this Christmas. It's pretty hilarious. But I love how that movie ends. And if you remember how it ends, Ralphie has finally secured his Red Ryder BB gun. And you remember it kind of pans in on him and he's snuggled up sleeping and you hear the narrator's voice saying, Ralph snuggled up with his Red Ryder air rifle, with a compass in the stock, and this thing that tells time. You remember that? And then this is him quoting him. He says, the greatest Christmas gift I had ever received or ever would receive. Do you remember that part? It's just like, oh, yes. And of course, we know that a Red Ryder BB gun is not the greatest gift that you can ever receive, but boy, for a kid that age, it's awesome. Today, I want to talk to you about the greatest gift that you can ever receive, and that is the love of God. Amen. Amen? And we know that the love of God is displayed and shown to us and embodied in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, I'm going to call for a lot of amens today. So, I want you to join with me in reading a verse that many of you will know and be able to quote. We'll follow along in this version, John 3:16. So you want to read with me? Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We threw the shall not in there for all you King James folks. We're glad you're here today. Some of us memorize it that way. This is an amazing verse. If you didn't know, it's a Christmas verse. It's an anytime verse, but it's a Christmas verse. And so I would like to talk to you today about the gift of God, the gift of love. And I want to begin by just saying from this verse something that I don't know that we often contemplate, but it's this, that God's gift is an unrequested gift. Did you know that? It's unrequested. The gift of God is not something the world was asking for. In fact, if you go into the book of Romans, it sort of describes who we are. And apart from God giving this gift of his own volition, we are not the brightest group. Is that a little hard to swallow this morning? We are not. In fact, we are blind in our sin. And the Bible says that our foolish hearts are darkened, so much so that none of us were asking for the gift we needed. And I'll bring this home a little bit. In fact, we are the ignorant. How many of you like that word? Has anybody ever told you that? You're ignorant. Is that a nice thing to say? And now the pastor's calling you that. Amen. You know, you bunch of ignorant people. You feel love this morning? We're going to get to the love. But if you get to the love apart from this, you miss the love. The fact is, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were blind to what we needed. In fact, I'm a fan of a lot of different books and stories and musicals. One of the ones I saw when I was a little kid was Oliver Twist. Do you remember little sweet Oliver Twist walking up to the horrible workhouse manager with his empty bowl looking for porridge and saying, please, sir, I want some more. You know, a lot of you think of yourselves that way. when it comes to God. Like humanity was crawling up to the throne of this dark and ominous justice, righteousness God, saying, "Please, sir, we just like a little bit of love." The fact is, we were so far on the other extreme of that, it's crazy. How many of you know we're the "we've got this" group? We live to be the "we've got this." I run into this in my own heart. You run into this all the time. How many of you, like, something comes along and you don't have, you know, what's your first response? "I got this." You know, you may, and you totally don't. How many of you know you totally don't? And you're still like, "No, I'm fine." Someone's like, "You need a little help?" "No, I got this. I'm missing a leg and I'm falling over. I'm fine, you know. I don't have a clue where we are, but honey, I don't need help with directions. You know, I mean, I've got this. I'm sufficient." Guess what that is? That's your flesh. And that's pride. We have no idea how lost we are. And sin has blinded us to the immensity of our terrible position and the fact that we are not only unaware of it, we are horribly broken. We're desperately sinful. Friends, some of us, like, we love to categorize ourselves. "Well, I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner." It's like, I've done some bad stuff, but not like that guy. You know, everybody has a list. "Well, I never did that," or "I never did that." Friends, you are desperately wicked. I always ask people when we get into this talk about, like, how high is holy? How far is, you know, I'm a pastor. I mean, good grief. I'm much more righteous than some of you. I'm paid to be, okay? I mean, I'm here, and some of you, it's seriously, you got some work to do. But let's all put ourselves next to God. How far is infinitely far? So far that we need to get rid of that ideology altogether. But friends, that's the problem. You and I are broken, busted sinners, and none of us, the Bible says, was looking up to heaven going, "Just love me. Just give me the one thing I need." In fact, we were saying, "Give me what I want, not what I need." And here's the verse that is amazing to me, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates His own love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Another thing you got to get out of your mind is the idea that we're getting better. Don't you love it how every year we think that we've advanced so far as human beings? Like the world is obviously a much better place today, is it not? I mean, we've got better health. We've got better medicine. We've got better technology. We've got that. I'm going to just give you one example. There were a lot to pick from. How many of you are aware that we had a little slavery problem in this country? We don't like, it's hard, okay? It was broken. It was busted. It was awful. But do you know that there are more slaves in the United States today than there were then? Do you know that in the world there are more people in slavery today than there have ever been in history? You know what enabled that? Technology. You see, friends, the problem is we're not getting better. We're just getting smarter about sinning. Amen? You see, we have a deep-rooted problem, and it will take advantage of any advance, and sin only knows how to take. It doesn't know how to give. It only knows how to corrupt. It doesn't know how to strengthen. And the problem is, we've all got the disease. We're blind to how desperately we need God's gift. We're not earning it. We're not getting closer to deserving it. We never did. We're the ignorant, but here's the great news. God is the initiator of His gift. Is that good news to anybody? How many of you are glad you had nothing to do with it? My pride isn't. I want to say, of course, to John be the glory. You know, You're like, that's awful. Guess what? How many times does your soul sing that song? Like in ourselves, we want to be worthy of it, but God is the initiator. In this verse, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. We've said it a million times. What that means is that His love, the love of God, is unmerited, it's undeserved, and it's absolutely unexpected. What I love is this. 1 John 4:10. Do you guys know this verse? "In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This is shocking. We never loved God, but He sets His love on us. And that love is transformative. And so I'm going to give you an illustration of this. How many of you, I mean, we just saw a picture, this Garrett, beautiful little baby boy. How many of you, if you're raising children, been around kids, how many of you know that sometimes your child gets attached to something, sometimes it's called a baba, a blankie, and this is all your child wants? In fact, without this, your child will not be satisfied. And how many of you, honestly, if you went to the store, would buy something that stained and that frayed and that goobered and that gross and give that to your child? Would any of you signed up for that? No. It's gross. It's all, and then, you know, but that's what the child wants. That's what the child desires. That's what's gonna, he longs to have. Now here's the shock. Jesus came because He wanted you. With all your stains. With all your frayed edges. Does that blow anybody's mind? That we're the thing that Christ came to save, and He wanted Him, wanted us with Him forever. Some of us this Christmas have a hard time with Christmas because we know we don't deserve it. How many of you are glad you can somewhat cover up the stains this morning? Can you imagine if I could just wipe the screen and all we could see would be the tattooed writings of our sin all over us? How many of you feel comfortable about coming this morning? What you need to know is when Jesus walks into the room, He sees it all. There's no lens, there's no cover-up, there's nothing, and all you'll see in His heart is, "Mine. Oh, I want that. That's what I came for that. I can't. Oh, I won't be eternity. No, I have to have you. You're what I want." That's amazing. For God so loved the world. And what I love about this is it means that God's love is not reciprocal. What do I mean by that? How many of you love your mom? Better be a big amen. Why do I love my mom? I love her for so many reasons. But you know what? I love my mom because she loves me. And she loved me before I ever loved her or even knew what love was. My mother loves me. And the fact is, she loved me before I ever gave her a Happy Mother's Day card. She loved me before I ever hugged her. She loved me before I ever cried out for her in the night. My mom loved me. And the fact is, I have been the biggest idiot in the world so many times in my life, and my mom still loves me. Some of you need to say amen when you think about yourselves. And if the whole world bails on me, my mom won't. What a great illustration of what God's love, because before we even had love to give, when all we had was sin and stain, Jesus, God, loves us. For God so loved the world. God's gift is unrequested. Now here's the good news, because if you know that you've never cried out for Him, He's giving it anyway. He sends His Son. And then the verse goes on, and you see that God's unrequested gift, but then it goes on, you see God's just unbelievable gift. Some of us need to think more. Sorry. I say that to me. All my life, think more. But you need to think more about what God has given. When we read the verse, "For God so loved the world," then you're like, what is the proof of that? That He gave His only begotten Son. God's love to us is this. Here it comes. His only Son, in Greek, the monogenes. If you don't mind, I'd just like to go off for a second. What does that mean? This means He is the one and only Son of God. When we are called sons of God, when we are called children of God, that is not what this is talking about. We are made that because we are now in Christ if we come to Him by salvation. This is saying this is the one and only true Son of God, part of the Trinity. He is unique and distinct in His person, in His deity, and in His eternity. Friends, how many of you know that we measure value by the uniqueness of an item? The most expensive things in the world are because they're the only one of its kind. Friends, what you need to understand is when God says, "I have given you my only Son," He's talking about the fact that the one thing that defines value in the universe, the one and only thing from which everything derives its worth, it only has worth as it is in related to the one and only thing that has worth, Jesus Christ. If it has value, this is the only way it has value. Because this is the one and only. The only one. This is the center of everything. Some of you this Christmas will have the joy of unwrapping some one-offs from children. And you will get something under your tree. Or it's a one-off, and it's from like a little kid. And maybe it's a sheep they made in Sunday school. Or maybe it's like a picture that they drew and they taped it and it got taped sideways. And then it's got the mommy or daddy on it. And you know what? It may be, kids, plug your ears, the ugliest thing you ever saw. But it will be beautiful to you. Because why? Because of the uniqueness of who made it and who gave it to you. Friends, when we talk about the gift of heaven, this is the one-off of God. This is the creator of the universe who speaks it into existence, and the one-off thing that He gives you is His one and only Son. Wow. That's what's under the tree. That's amazing. That's what God puts under the tree. And it's not just that He's His only Son. What you understand here is that He is His only begotten Son. If I can take you, begotten doesn't mean that Jesus was created. In fact, it means absolutely the opposite. It means His eternal Son. What God puts under the tree is eternity. Now, why is that exciting? You know this verse? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, it may be that over the Christmases that you've had, that you got a gift one year. Maybe you're a guy like me, and maybe you got a tool or something, and over the years it has just become your go-to, right? It's that thing that you love and you value that. We're like that as men. We do this with clothes too. I don't know why. Some of you have pairs of jeans that should have gone out of existence centuries ago, but you wear them and you delight in that and whatever. I don't know. But the fact is, here's the thing. Imagine if I just strolled into your house and I took that thing that you've enjoyed for so many years and I just removed it. And you'd be like, wait, the joy of that. Now imagine if I came in and I took what you've had from eternity. what you have shared from beyond time, the most precious and intimate and without conflict and amazing relationship. Friends, how many of you know the Trinity is a little bit of a deep concept? But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these are distinct persons who have had fellowship from beyond time. The love of God for the Son didn't just burst on the scene when the earth was created. How many of you know God loved His boy just as much before there was a molecule of existence? This was always His beloved Son in whom He was well pleased. And if none of you ever existed, He would still be the most precious thing to God the Father and the center of the Father's will. And yet God spoke time into existence because He loves that boy so much, and He chooses to do the one thing that none of us can possibly imagine because we're not God. He chooses to allow that intimacy to become separated. And He sends His only Son, and He allows Him to become a man. And that man had to learn of his Father. And for the first time in eternity, God allowed space, not sin, not wrong, but real space. And then one day, on a cross, He experienced true, full loss of His gift so you and I could have Him. That's what's under the tree. The eternal Son of God. This is not some trinket. This is the most precious thing in the universe. It gets better. How many of you go, this gets better? This is not only God's unbelievable gift. Here it comes, and this is what you and I need to know. This is God's unlimited gift. Look at the verse go on. That He gave His only begotten Son. And this is beautiful. This is where we come in. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish. It's unlimited. How? It's unlimited in its purchase power. Because of what it is, it cannot be limited in what it can do and what it can do on your behalf and mine. What does it mean that whoever believes in Him? Whoever means whoever. It means unlimited. There is no person who has ever been born, who has ever lived, that is beyond the salvation power of Jesus Christ. Anybody say amen to that? Because some of us believe somehow we're not on the list. Like somehow you got, no, there's no room for you. Not what you did. No, this verse blows that up. This means that it is unlimited in its availability. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He who hears my word, anyone who hears the word of God can respond and be saved. That's good news. That's amazing news. It's unlimited in its availability. It's unlimited in its embrace. This is so cool. It is a trustworthy statement, 1 Timothy 1:15, deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and this is Paul saying, among whom I am the foremost. So what does this mean? It means that if you are in this room and breathing, you can be saved. If you are alive on this planet, Christmas is for you. Amen? One of the greatest joys I get as a pastor is there's times when I get to be the point person on blessing. And if you want to know what just gets my wheels cranking, it's this, because it's such a joyful thing. I'll give you an illustration of it. I took a large group of students, college students, with me to a retreat in Santa Barbara, California. Really rough, right on the ocean. It was a struggle. There we were in this beautiful downtown shopping area. And what they didn't know was I had budgeted in a really stupid large amount of money just to do something, and I just titled it Blessing. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I was like, students, and how can I bless them? So when I went downtown, I found this homemade ice cream shop. And they were like, they did the homemade waffle cones and ice cream, and then they just loaded them. So I went into the manager. I said, look, I've asked my entire group to come in. There's about 75 of them. I said, and I just asked them to meet me at the door. And I'm going to stand at the door, and as they walk in, you need to know, I'm just going to point. And whoever I point at, they're mine. And what that means is they can buy anything they want, anything on your menu. So the moment came, and the group comes walking. I go, what are we doing, Pastor John? I said, hey, I want to buy your ice cream. And they're like, oh, awesome. Do we get a cone? I'm like, no, you get whatever you want. And they're like, what? And you always have that one kid who's just going to take it for a ride. Whatever I want, whatever you want. What if I want it all? Then you better get it all. He's like, and he did. He got like 4 cones. Turkey. He did it. He took me for the full ride. And you know what? I delighted in it. It was so much fun. They kept coming in. And the manager like, yours? I'm like, mine. Yours? Mine. And they just keep coming in. And they're ordering sundaes and cones and crazy. Mine, mine. And this one family got caught in the middle of us. And they had all these little kids. And you want to talk about a great moment? Because as they walk in, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't know. I'm like, no, no. Mine. Man, mine. And these little kids are like, what does that mean? And I literally got down. I said, it means you can have whatever you want. And the mom literally walked over. She said, no, honey, you can't do it. I said, oh, no, no. I'm like, I don't know your mother, but she's wrong. You can have what, and their eyes just like, and literally, this kid, I look over this girl, she couldn't have weighed 10 pounds. I mean, she's like, just twig. And she's got like a sundae bigger than her head. Oh, you know, it was the greatest moment. Mine, mine, mine. What do you think Christmas is like for Jesus? What do you think it's like to be Him? And we walk in, and it's dunking, and I am dripping with inadequacy, and I have brokenness that I don't ever want you, any of you, to find out, because it's horrifying to me how weak sometimes, and you all could say these things, and yet, can't you just see Jesus standing there at the right hand of the throne of God? Father, that's mine! To the glory of your grace. Every time another one, you did it, Father, for me, but here they, mine, 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 mine. Amen. Oh, Christian. It's not just unlimited gift in its purchase. How about this? It's unlimited in its power. You see, I get thrilled that God saved me. Anybody else glad this morning? But some of you wonder how far that goes. Like literally, He saved me, but how many of you have ever felt like you're going to make it to heaven, but you're going to be like at the top left corner of the amphitheater? You're going to be like with binoculars, there He is! I see Him! There's the throne! So glad we made it. Have you seen the line for the bathroom? Oh my word. Some of you feel that way. Friends, when it says, but whoever believes in Him shall not perish. What does that mean, to perish? To perish means to receive God's final and eternal judgment. It means death. Judgment and hell. It means the most horrible thing you could ever conceptualize, and that is to be separated from God for all eternity. And what a horrible thing. And the rightful, just reward for sin. And we live with a reality of knowing that somehow our lives have accrued a debt. But when God says that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, it means that the very thing that we fear in any shape or form has been paid for in its totality. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives, eternal Jesus, to make intercession for them. Because Jesus saves and He has the power of eternal life, Hebrews says that, that He is able to save you forever and to remove everything, every obstacle that you would face. He is sufficient forever, and forever means every moment of this lifetime till you take your last breath on into timeless eternity. Anybody say amen to that? I'll give you an illustration of this. How many of you know that, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, it seems that Christmas could not be Christmas without getting a Starbucks card? Did that dawn on anybody? Have you noticed that whatever gift you get, like in a baggie from a friend, it's like a mug and a Starbucks card? You know, a wrench and a Starbucks card. Because apparently, Starbucks is grace. I don't know why, but there it is. You know, you gotta have a Starbucks card. And here's the thing, when you first came out and you got a Starbucks card, and let's say it was a $5 Starbucks card, that was pretty exciting. But how many of you know today that might pay for a drink? So we somehow feel like, yeah, I got a Starbucks card. But don't you always flip it over? It's like, whoa, what if it's like one of those $25 ones? Oh yeah. Have you ever got a $50? Okay, one year somebody gave me a $100 Starbucks card. If any of you are looking to bless the pastor, I just go forth. But no, don't ever do that. If I get one, I will feel like I have failed as a pastor. Don't ever do that. Okay, but let's say you open your bag. And you pull out I got a Starbucks card. And you flip over the back and it says $1 billion. How many of you are instantly like, this is a typo? Because I'm pretty sure that Starbucks doesn't have the bandwidth to underwrite this card. But what if it's real? What if that means that it is sufficient for every day, for as many times a day, as you want to go, and as many friends as you ever want to bring, as long as you live? How many of you want that card? Some of you are like, I don't like coffee. Okay, fill in the blank. It's a Dairy Queen. I don't know. How many of you want that card? The all-sufficient for all time, for every scenario, for any moment, for any time you want it, and for as many people as you ever want to bring. Friends, there is nothing like unwrapping the gift of Christmas and finding out it is unlimited for all time, not only for your life, but for everybody in your whole sphere, for as long as you live, and for all of them unto eternity. Amen? That's Christmas. That's as good as it gets. That's Jesus. Can you tell I like Christmas? How about this last one? It's unlimited in its promise. But they shall have eternal life. Now this one, we're almost done. Kids, you're doing awesome. There's a perspective I'd like you to have this Christmas, and I hope it changes the way you think. How many of you know that the whole world would like eternal life even if it doesn't want Jesus? How many fairy tales are about something that can live forever? Can I tell you what eternal life is? Eternal life is not to live forever. In fact, you could live forever without the gift of God. That would be hell. Imagine that you cannot die and you don't know Jesus. All you get to do is recycle the damage of sin forever. And all you will ever do is watch people you love and things that you want to see built be destroyed and taken and taken and taken without hope and meet their end. And that's all you would have if you could live forever. Do you know what eternal life is? Eternal life is to have the love of God and never be able to lose it. Amen? See, that's what eternal life is. It is to live to get forever as a recipient of the love of God. That's what eternal life is. It is not to
die and then suddenly like, I wonder what's going to happen. No, the very love that God shows in rescuing me from my sins is now unhindered the minute I stop breathing and I enter glory and I'm finally in a frame that can handle righteousness and not disintegrate. Who's looking forward to that? I was at a restaurant, I was at a gas station the other day, and some high school kid thought nobody was looking, and he stuck his head under the soda fountain and just turned it on. That's heaven for me. Bypass cups, bypass silverware, bring it! Bring it all! And all I will know for eternity is the love of my Savior, and no limitation in me will ever stop it again. Who's looking forward to that? That's eternal life. Friends, eternal life is not some cheap, oh yeah, when you die you get to go to heaven. Eternal life is to have unhindered, unchallenged reception of the love of the one who died for you. That's eternal life. So if this is true, and then the gift of God, this unlimited gift, this unbelievable gift, how shocking to find it be an unopened gift. You see, there are many people. There may be some here today. And Jesus Christ, you've just left wrapped under a tree. And I don't know the reasons. I'm not here to condemn you or tell you something bad about you. But the fact is, you know that Christ is just there. And he's unwrapped. He's like, you've heard, you've seen, you're fine with being close to the tree at Christmas. You love the wrapping paper and it all sounds good. But you have not opened it. You have not experienced him. You've not allowed him to save you. And so instead of us giving you a guilt trip, I just want you to stop thinking about yourself for a moment. And I want you to picture this Jesus. Just for a moment. What do you think his face looks like? I'm not talking about who he looks like. What's the expression on his face when he looks at you? You see, some of us have a lot of ideas about what he must look like. Maybe you think he's got an angry face or thing. Do you know what the face of longing looks like? And have you seen the moisture in the corner of his eyes? And he's got that look that just says, take one step. For all your fear, you move towards me, and I will give you all of me forever. I died for you. I love you. And the face in his eyes is the face that says, I want you. Because that's what he looks like. He wants you. There's another group of us, and we're believers, and you unwrapped the gift of God. You did it. I'm so thankful you did that. You came to Christ by faith. You believe he's forgiven you of your sins. But the truth is, at some point, you picked up the gift, and I don't know what happened. Again, I'm not a prophet. What hurt you? I don't know. What scared you? I don't know. What leader bummed you out? I hope it wasn't me. But if it did, you sat there, and you took the gift of Jesus, and you just put it on a shelf, and you still want it in your house. You want the truth of it, but you have not re-engaged with that gift. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are ashamed of that. How many of you this was? Don't raise your hand. It was a rough devotional year. Maybe me? I don't know. And you're like, yeah, I could count on one hand the times I read about him. I heard a lot of sermons, but just me and him, no, that's been hard. Or maybe, I don't know what it is, but here's the thing. One of the things we let happen at this time of year is you think somehow you lost him. Like, you can't retrieve that relationship. Like, somehow, oh, it was great while it lasted. Now I'm just going to, like, kind of do the outside, the outskirts of Jesus. Friend, can I just tell you something? And I'm not going to talk about you. You may have done whatever you did. And I'm sorry, or it hurt, or whatever. But guess what? That gift has lost nothing of its power. There are no batteries that went dormant while you left it on the shelf. The Holy Spirit fully engaged at full power. What lurks there is the eternal Son of God who is content to say to you, I love you enough that you can come back to me. I will not sit there in judgment. It's not going to be like a jack in the box and Jesus is going to jump out and scare you because you were weak. Guess what? He knows you're weak. He wanted you anyway. Amen? What will you find? What you find every time. John. You've never been. It's okay. I am what you need. I've always been what you need. I'm sitting here. Let's play. Let's enjoy. You mean I don't have to earn my way back? No. You couldn't earn it in the first place. I'm yours and you're mine. So let's get going. Amen. F.F. Bruce, and I'll close with this, said if there is one sentence, and he's talking about John 3:16, more than any other that sums up the message of the gospel, it's this: the love of God is limitless. It embraces all mankind. No sacrifice was too great to bring it its unmeasured intensity home to men and women. The best that God had to give, He gave. His only Son, His well-beloved. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. God, it's Christmas, and we have become the recipients of Your love. And You have given us love, and You have given it in the person that You love the most, Your Son. And You've set Him under the tree, God. And I pray for all of us here today that we would not spend another moment without unwrapping the gift, without experiencing it maybe anew. And God, if there's someone here today and it's finally clicking in and they're saying, I need to do that, God, would they know? You promise whoever comes to Me, I will not cast out. Whoever turns to Me, I will embrace. Lord, we trust that today. And God, we worship You because of it. All God's people said, Amen.